Well, good morning. Last time we had an introduction on this wonderful letter in Colossians, where Paul is answering some of the teaching that's going around that Jesus wasn't enough. And last week we just looked at who Jesus was writing to. Who Paul was writing to. And we saw that who he was writing to, depending on which translation you had, it was either the saints or the holy ones. And we saw that we are the saints. We are the holy ones because we believe in Jesus, because our sins are forgiven. And therefore, Paul, when he writes to holy ones and he writes to the saints, he's writing to us. We then saw that he called them faithful. They were believers. They were committed. They were the brethren. They were based in Colossae. And we saw that that's us. And therefore what we read in this letter applies to us. And when we go through this letter, we will see what is in the world today. How there are men and women trying to take followers and believers of Jesus Christ away from the truth so that they believe a different gospel. So that they believe in a different Jesus. And so this morning we're just going to look at what he else taught about the people there who were living in Colossae. And we saw that he said that they had faith in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? And this is what Paul is saying. He's starting this letter by really addressing who he is writing to. He's writing so that we don't get complacent. He is writing so that we don't think that we can't possibly be deceived or that we possibly can't be led astray with a different Jesus, a different gospel. We can't possibly be led astray into thinking that Jesus Christ is not enough. It says Paul prayed for them because he had heard of their faith in Jesus Christ. And their faith in Jesus is what they had heard. It is what they had been taught. But not only that, it is my conviction that just knowing what is taught, just knowing what is learned is not enough. And what we need to be aware of is that when we read the word, when the scriptures, the gospel tell us about Jesus, we need to be asking for the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to us, to give us understanding. The Father wants you to understand about Jesus Christ. The Father wants to reveal to you who Jesus is by the Holy Spirit. And therefore, when Paul says that they have learnt about Jesus, they have been taught about Jesus, they have their faith in Jesus, that's only the one side. The other side is that the Holy Spirit gave them understanding. The Holy Spirit revealed the truth of who Jesus is to them. For Paul also says in Romans, you cannot understand the things of the Spirit unless you have the Spirit. And so Paul is saying this morning that those who have faith in Jesus, because of what they had learnt and taught, when we put other scriptures together, it means they also have the Holy Spirit. They're born again believers. And the letter is saying, but you're in danger. You beloved saints, you beloved holy people, you wonderful brethren, you've got faith in Jesus because you've been taught, because you've learned. You must just keep to what you've been taught, what you've been learned, what the Holy Spirit has shown you about Jesus Christ. You know, there's a phrase in the New Testament that a lot of people misunderstand because it's called the unforgivable sin. Jesus says, whoever blasphemes the Holy Spirit cannot be forgiven. And I haven't got time to go into all that this morning, but this is my conviction on that. In the context, those that Jesus was teaching and the Pharisees, that they knew who Jesus was. They knew that he was from God, and yet they said the miracles he did were from the devil. And I'm going to widen it. I'm going to say that when people in full knowledge, because they've been taught and they've learnt, say that Jesus was not born of a virgin, when they say that Jesus did not perform miracles, when they say that Jesus did not die, that he was not buried, he did not rise, he did not ascend, and he's not coming back, they're in danger of blaspheming the Holy Spirit, because they're saying that the work of the Spirit is the work of the devil. And Paul's letter to Colossae is saying, we've got to know Jesus. We've got to really be grounded in a firm conviction of who Jesus is, why he came, what his mission was, what Jesus is like. There are so many people today who are preaching a different Jesus, and therefore they have a different gospel. And Paul was so aware that these wonderful people in Colossae had been taught and they had learnt about Jesus, but their people had come amongst them trying to teach a different Jesus, a different gospel. And we have to know that Jesus is enough. He's enough for your salvation. His death and blood shed is enough for your forgiveness. You know, when you read through church history and you read sometimes of people's lives, how they self-harmed themselves trying to earn forgiveness. How they would punish their bodies in trying to win salvation or acceptance to God, and little realizing it had all been done for them on the cross, because he had shouted, "It is finished. Jesus is enough." And we shouldn't try to think, I've got to do this and I've got to do that to try and gain his forgiveness. It's done. It's finished. You see, Paul says they have faith in Jesus. And he was concerned that if possible, that people could undermine their faith in Jesus. And therefore he wrote this letter to them. You know, there were those who said that Jesus couldn't be fully God and fully man. That Jesus can be worshipped, but let's worship other spiritual things as well. And if you really want to get spiritual knowledge, then self-harm or deny yourselves all kind of enjoyment and pleasures, and then God can reveal secrets. See, a misunderstanding. Because some of the things they say you should do, but you don't do it in order to gain wealth or to gain health or to gain knowledge. You do it because you love him. And you just want to be with him. You just want to worship him. And therefore, Paul talks about this in his wonderful letter. We will see that Jesus is creator. Jesus is sinless. Jesus did do miracles. And there are people today who have a different Jesus. And they have a different gospel. And that's why Paul starts this letter by saying, I've heard about you. I'm praying about you. You know what I've heard? I've heard you've got faith in Jesus. Wouldn't it be wonderful if people heard about believers that they've got faith in Jesus, the faith that the Bible talks about, so the Jesus the Bible talks about. You know what Paul says? He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. It's the gospel of Christ. The good news is not about, and sometimes we probably are guilty, sometimes we put the emphasis wrong. The gospel is not about he can give you peace. The gospel is not about you can find your needs met. The gospel is not about, it's not really about what will happen if you become a believer and what God can give you, the peace, the love, the joy. The gospel is about Christ and what he did for you on the cross. That's the good news about the forgiveness, about the adoption into his family. It's about that when we believe on him, we're saved. That's the gospel of Christ. And sometimes we think we've got to tell people about all the benefits. Let's look at what they preached. Acts 5:42. And daily in the temple and every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. And can I say Philip had the Old Testament? Isn't that wonderful? That he preached Jesus from the Old Testament. In fact, Jesus is in every book of the Old Testament. He's there. Sometimes a little bit disguised, but Jesus is there. And that's what Philip did. And then some of the men from Cyprus, when they had come to Antioch, they spoke to them what? Preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they explained and demonstrated that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead, saying, "This Jesus, whom I preach to you, is Christ." I want you to see, when you look through the book of Acts, there was one thing they taught and preached to the unbelievers, and that was Jesus Christ, why he came, what he did. And they used the Old Testament to do this. And this was, and sometimes we sometimes can lose the emphasis of Jesus, that when we are with people who don't know him, we're meant to be talking about Jesus, revealing Jesus to them. Paul says in Corinthians, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." He also said to the church at Corinth, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us." The church at Corinth had a problem. This is what Paul says to them. "You happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believed." There's a different Jesus out there in some churches. There's a different gospel out there in some churches. And there's a different spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit. And Paul had to warn them right at the beginning. Don't happily put up with what people tell you about Jesus if it's not the true Jesus. We have to know what the Gospels and the Old Testament and the other books and they tell us about Jesus. The whole book of Colossians is that we might adore and be in love with Jesus. That when we are with people, we just want to tell them about Jesus. Tell them what he's done. Tell them what the cross means. You see, Paul was concerned with the believers at Corinth. At Corinth and at Colossae, that they wouldn't lose sight of who Jesus is. They wouldn't lose sight of what Jesus had done upon the cross. You get the picture. They taught and preached Jesus, that their faith was in Jesus. They believed in him. Their confidence was in him, not in their education, not in their family, not in their wealth. Their conviction was in their belief in Jesus Christ and in him alone. He was the only one through the work of the cross that could save them. Money and family couldn't save them, only Jesus Christ. And so Paul gives thanks for their faith, their convictions about Jesus. Now what happens? What happens if you believe in Jesus? What happens if you know that Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin, did miracles, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, buried, was resurrected from the dead, ascended and coming back? What else did he say about these wonderful people at Colossae? He told them this: "I give thanks to God for you because you have faith in Christ Jesus and you have love for all the saints." When you know Jesus, when you believe in Jesus, when you're born again, it says that the love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I want to suggest this morning that if you say, "I'm a saint, I'm a holy one, I'm the faithful brethren, I'm a believer in Jesus," then you should love one another. You should love the brethren. It's not something you have to sort of work up and try to do. It's not something one should have arm twisted to do or put guilt trips on. If you believe in Jesus, if you know Jesus, then you should have compassion on people. It's a natural thing. Jesus said this, "A new commandment I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. And he repeated it twice in the book of John. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." I'm not going to say that's easy. I'm not going to say that it comes naturally, because it doesn't. But it should come supernaturally. This love that Jesus had for us, he wants us to demonstrate that to the world. He wants us to demonstrate the love of God by how we live, by what we say, and by what we do. John says this, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commandments. In fact, this is the love of God, keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world." This is the victory that has overcome the world. Well, let's put this all together. What is this saying? It's saying this, if we believe that Jesus is the Christ, we are born of God, we have the Holy Spirit, we flow in love. And what John is saying is this. If you say you believe in Jesus and you say you love God, but you don't love your brother, you have a problem. You can't say I love God who you can't see if you don't love the brother that you can see. And what is on the heart of Paul, I believe, is this, and he's commending them for them. There was a group of people who not only believed in Jesus, not only did they love all, and it says all the saints, they had no prejudice, they had no favourites, they loved everyone equally. That's the gist of what Paul is saying. And what Paul is saying is this, you've got all this so right. You've got all this so correct. You've got all this wonderful thing that we can praise you for and give thanks to, but I want to pray for you. And as we go through the letter, we'll see why. Because although they were solid people, he didn't want them moved away from the foundation of their faith in Jesus Christ. You see, we can't walk and live in the Spirit, be in light and not love. Let's remember that these people had faith, a true saving faith. But the book of Colossae is like two. So on one side he said, look, there's these wonderful believing people. And on the other hand, there's these other people who are trying to get this group of people to believe in a different Jesus, believing in a different gospel, worshipping a different Lord. So, we've had faith in Jesus, results in the love for all of God's people. And then Paul gives thanks for the faith and the love. And he says this, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel. Isn't that wonderful? We have a hope. It's not just a faith in Christ. It's not just loving one another. He says there's a hope laid before you. There is an inheritance. And there's a hope. You know what hope means? The best definition I've ever heard is this. It is a certain, joyful expectation of a future event. A joyful, certain expectation of a future event. And he says, it's waiting for you. The one that you've put your faith in is waiting for you. Whether he comes back or whether we die to go with him, he's our hope, waiting for us. He's our hope. And that's what Paul is reminding them in this wonderful letter. And that our hope is in Jesus and Jesus alone. He is enough. He will present us before the Father blameless. We will spend eternity with the Father and the Son because we have faith in Jesus and we love the brethren. And this gives us a hope for the future. I want you to see, when Paul was writing this letter to Colossae, he could be writing to Christians in Coventry. He could be writing to Christians in New York. He could be writing to Christians in Norwich or in Sydney or any place where there are a group of believers who have faith in Jesus, love the brethren and have a hope in the future. Because in the world today, and we get it so much easier for us to read it and to see it, they don't even have to be in person now. You can find the false Jesus, the false gospel on the internet, on your phones, on the television screen. They didn't have that in Colossae. We do. And therefore, Paul has this. And I want to read, and we're going to look at when we get to these verses, we will look at them. He says this. He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. That's wonderful, isn't it? That's beautiful. That's what God wants. That's his plan. That's his purpose for those who believe in Christ, for those who have faith in Christ. Then Paul goes on. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. Paul is saying this quite clearly. We have to be on guard. We have to have a starting point, and this is the starting point, believe in Jesus. Some people start with loving one another. That's the wrong place to start. Paul starts with faith in Christ. Faith in Christ, love one another, and you have a hope waiting for you. But there is an enemy, and he's very, 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 very crafty, because he'll present a different Jesus that almost looks like the real one. He'll present a gospel that sounds very much like the real one. And Paul knew this. And he says we need to stay firm and not moved from the hope. And that means not to move away from the Jesus of the Word of God. Not to move away from the Jesus revealed and taught by the apostles and by even those in the Old Testament. Not to move away. But then I'm going to end with a wonderful verse, because you've got to end with something positive. And Romans 15:13 says this. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, what's going to keep us going? What's going to keep us believing? What's going to keep us loving is hope. By the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, one thing that sort of amazes me in one sense is this. Those disciples had been with Jesus, had seen him do miracles. They knew him. And yet they still had to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to witness. So do you. So do I. And so next time, we'll look at the truth of the gospel. What is the true gospel and the effect of the gospel when it's presented in the power of in the Spirit by those who have faith in Jesus, love God and people, and know that their hope is him. When you have a people that have faith in Jesus, love people, know their hope, there's power when the Holy Spirit works through such a people. And that's what this book is all about. The people of God moving in power. Because they have faith in Jesus, because they love one another, and because there's a hope. Amen.